We ended off last week in that environment. First that environment.
We went there with another ship. But in that was, we have a song with the company. We call it for kids. Make sure that thing is up.
Hani Mamin Bemuna Shlema Shabir is Bosh and Maiku Bayre, Umani Rokola Bruin. Hashem is the creator and the constant controller of all creation. And He alone made, makes, and will make everything that will ever appear. That's basically what we started with and ended with last week. We're going to touch on almost all that today. What we came out with was that logically deducing that there must be an original existence that brought everything into existence would automatically assume that that original existence is not matter. Because any matter, again we said, has to have a beginning and end in time. It has a beginning and end in time, something has to have made it. So automatically we assume that the original existence is not matter, which means it is not bound by space. Good?
This was
very simple basic physics, and therefore the original existence is unbound by space, unbound by time, and we're going to go on from there.
Are you, just one quick question, are you discussing now that which Hashem created first, from which the world is created, or are you discussing the fact that there has to be a bar?
Yeah, the fact that there has to be a bar.
Okay.
Now we're going to go through this. Automatically, we ended off with that being that it is limitless in space, there cannot be two. Because two would limit each other. Okay? So, therefore, there must be an echad. So, besides for Anokhi Hashem Elokecha, this also serves as the mitzvah of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, which is another Ani Mamin. Ve'ein Shabbir Yisrael Shema Hu Yachid, he is single. Ve'ein Yechidus Kamo B'Shem Panim. There is no other singular form in the world like the original existence, because every other thing that we can imagine to be single is still made up of parts. And Kadosh Baruch Hu, the original existence, we're saying is not matter. It's not made up of any parts, because if there were any parts, they're limited. So it is a oneness that is impossible to compare to any oneness that we have. It's a oneness because of its unlimitedness. It must be one. Not made up of anything. And that's why we say, Ein Yechidus Kamo. There's no other single thing in the universe which is similar to the singularity of Hashem. Therefore, he has no form, no image, which would also deem him as being limited in space. And last but not least, which is the culmination of the first four Ani Mamins, which all discuss God himself, is that being that he is the original existence and unlimited, he is the only power and energy in creation. That means you go to a Rebbe's Keder, you have to be extremely careful not to say, Rebbe, help me. When you go to a Rebbe with a kvittel, you have to be extremely careful not to say, Rebbe, do this for me. Pull off parnassah for me. Pull off this for me. I need this, I need that. And that is the fourth Ani Mamin, which is Ani Mamin Be'emuna Shleima Shabbir Yisbog Shemai. Oh, sorry. The fifth Ani Mamin. Shabbir Yisbog Shemai. Lo Levadei Roi L'Spalo. Only to God, to the original existence, is it proper to pray. Because there is no other power or energy in the universe. Only to him, because he is powerful. Okay? And nothing else has its own power in the world. You could say that, you know, maybe God will pay attention to his prayers because you don't know how to talk. So you could ask him to pray. But to go to a cave of tzaddikim, and even tzaddikim, it's not the pasha that they could stop. And Mr. Brewer brings down when, and it says before Tisha B'av and Yom Kippur, you know, we go to Kvardin sometimes, to Minig Yisrael, to Daven. He says, very careful. You go there and you talk to the Bairi Olam only. And he says, Ribbono Shel Olam, in the kus and in the merit of the tzaddik that I'm standing by, please do this for me. He doesn't say you address the tzaddik at all. This is something that you'd have to ask the rabbinic authority exactly where to draw the line halakhically. But it's something to be very careful, because it is amongst the foundations of our emuna, is that there is no power besides for that original existence.
It's dangerous because it's the original Torahs that made the two major religions that are descended from Yiddishkeit. Especially in Christianity, so that's exactly their Torahs.
You see also that, without naming different Yiddish groups, that some of the rabbis are so revered to the point.
It's dangerous.
That's the path. That's where it leads to. That they have started to. These are shluchim of Hashem. We can dive into them.
Similarly, which is something my father brought up a little while ago, is we have to be careful with schools. We can't attribute any power or energy to any skula. There's no power to a skula. Zero.
What is it?
If we attribute how skulas work, maybe there's some merit, maybe there's a munas chachamim, whatever it is. I don't know how skulas do work. But if you're attributing any power or energy to a skula, you're coming very close to going against one of the mainstays of Jewish belief. And that is, there is no power outside of the original. That's the fifth
Anima. Well, I have one quick question about this. One cannot believe that Hashem made things work in such a way that if a person says a certain capital tilling or has some cipher write something in a certain class, that's a problem.
Very touchy in terms of how to define what the skula is. You know, the most open skula ever, and I should say guaranteed one, is Meiser. Nobody's attributing any power to Meiser. Hashem says, test me. You use Tanaka, I'll provide money. That's God. That's not a power in the Meiser. That's a power of God. God is telling you, you do this, I'll provide. It gets very touchy when you start associating any specific power to any segula. I'm not passing any shayla specifically, but it gets you have to be very, very careful, because associating any power outside of God is, if not exactly, and very closely related to Meisner.
Somebody told someone in Israel that Khan, was something that we were light a bunch of candles. He told him at the school that we're going to be here, it's going to be a lot of candles. It's a school for you to get married, that you should pay for all the candles. Uh-huh. And in that school, you're going to get married. So he went, he did it, dude. A few weeks later, he got engaged, he's now married.
There's one that God guaranteed. That's it. The Chanuni Na Chazai. If you want, I don't know if you want to go to that topic, I can clarify the topic for you. There's an unbelievable narrative on the Pasuk over there by the Chanuni Na Chazai. Test me with Tanaka. But I don't know if you want to do that. I will say that for a separate share. But unbelievable clarity and that differentiation between testing God, which is horrible. So in the Midbar, we tested God. Big problem. And then God says, go test me.
The difference between the one of Khan and the servant.
That's the problem to deal with. But okay, but we're not going to go into that right now. But we have to be very, very careful. The only energy source and power in the universe is our foundation of us. When we do find sometimes possible things that seem like a source of energy.
Yeah.
A very simple analogy would be if you would have a light on. And the light's in this room, and you have a closed door, and you have the hallway, and you have the porch outside. And you open the door here, light will go to the hallway, you open the door in the hallway like this. There's no light in the hall. No light comes from here. So you may see the power and energy of God, sometimes seeming as if it's coming from other sources. Kula, we cannot attribute any own power to it. God could say, I'm investing this merit of course, of Ramas, of Nocho, whatever it may be. But attributing any own power to the
idea of
that you don't know every specific situation. Maybe the wasn't good. Maybe the tzaddik also davened. You don't know if the tzaddik put in tzedakah. You don't know.
What I'm trying to say is that only because he suggested it, through the rebbe, it became it worked. When he was done himself,
I'm not discussing specific situations. Yeah. You know, sometimes they fail too.
This was a really first hand story.
Yeah, yeah. I'm saying a lot. You can never. Point a finger. I know, but there's no way to ever point a finger at why at why the person merited his yeshua.
Yeah.
If it was the Rebbe's bracha, the Rebbe's suggestion, the actual action, the emunah chachamim, that's not for us to judge.
Yeah.
That's God kishvay. Okay, but we're just discussing this side in our emunah that God is the only power source of creation. Now we're going to make the little jump. And I was going to go into what the Rambam calls the reality of the world and the endless and the virtual endless. We're not going to touch it unless we want to make the Shem on a different share. But not, definitely not right now. And we're going to go on that if God is completely not going to use the term God, because we said we're going to approach this the original existence. Yeah? Who is limitless in terms of space and time. So it has no lack in terms of what we can define as lack. It right away brings us to a question that what brought it to make any decision to do anything? We don't know what existed before, right? We're not supposed to think into what was before the world. But what drove the original existence to create? Simple question. And this is a question which Derech Hashem, Rav Kal discusses. And we're going to approach it logically. I was walking in the car with probably rushing. Car service driver was in the eighth grade dad. He was driving me back from the shore and cursing me. How do you still believe in God? I always did to my family.
And
being the foolish youngster that he was, I figured, let me respond to him. And you know, the rule they say is you can't respond logic to someone who's talking emotionally. No, he was talking, his family, this and that, like, what are you? But I was a foolish youngster, probably still am a foolish youngster. and I decided to give my response. And I said, I don't know why all this happened. But do you think that the Eivishter has any needs for fun? To show off power, greed, you know, let me see what happens when you're a kid, you know, let me step on that pony, see what happens. HaKadosh Baruch Hu lacks nothing. He is not need-driven. because a need automatically is associated with something missing, and you're coming to fill that need. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is saying there's nothing missing, he is unlimited in space and time, he is not matter, he lacks nothing, there's no borders, there's no area for receiving, there's no receiving department by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he is incapable of doing anything for his own want, because there is no want. The word want comes from the fact that there's a chisaron, there's an absence that has to be filled. When someone is in want because he's missing something, he wants something to fill what he is missing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is incapable of that, by definition of what we're defining as the original existence. He's not matter, he is completely limitless. There is no place for him to want. Which automatically means HaKadosh Baruch Hu must be doing things for others' purposes. Not because he wants, needs, desires, and bored. All of those things that we attribute to the reasons why we do things is always because there's some lack in us that we're coming to fulfill. Everything we do, everything, is coming from some need, to the extent that scientists want to claim even that the solar system is a zero. We're all automatically driven by instinctive desires and needs. We don't agree with that. But just about everything we do is driven by a lack or need or desire that we're coming to fulfill. Because Baruch doesn't have that. So it's not boredom. It's not a power struggle. It's not entertainment. So I told this to this Russian guy and he started crying. He gave me a thank you and he dropped me off the ass. And I was surprised that he was able to hear it. Especially coming from a little kid. But the logic is very convincing. That is, you know, if the guy wants to deny God, that's a separate shmooze. That's a separate shmooze. But on the assumption that we're working with God, we're assuming that this original existence is limitless, it is incapable of doing anything for its own self-purpose. And therefore, the Ramchal says in the beginning of his sefer, Derech Hashem, the way of God, Derech HaTov V'Heitiv. The question is, who said God? Tov. He said, it is the way of something that is good to act good and to bestow good. How do we know God is Tov? And if we look around, anything that we will ever define as something being good or evil, if you really break it down, you're going to see that evil is driven to fill a need. And Tov, wherever you're going to work in the Bria, is always something being done that's giving. Anything. You can even break it down to a very borrowed term of good, to a Coca-Cola. Why do you call it good? Because it gives you pleasure. It's a very borrowed term when you call the Coca-Cola good. But that's why we associate good with things that give to others. And we associate evil with things that are driven by self-interest and desire and need. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who has no self-interest, desire, or need, must be that he's doing something for another's purpose. So he created the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and this is something that can change one's view of life. You guys know it already, it won't change your view of life. The entire Bria was created as a receptacle for God to give to. Nothing more, nothing less. It's a keli, a cup, a bowl, call it what you want. It's a receptacle for God's giving. Period. The Ramban, the Shiluach HaKain, and there are those that try to give a logical explanation for sending away the mother bird. The Ramban says you're not doing God no favors. You're not doing anything. He said all of your mitzvahs are given just for our own good. I was trying to find exactly where I had it written down, but I'm looking at it now. I couldn't find it exactly. It's a nice few paragraphs on it. The exact quote of the word that I was trying to find was "Ki kevodenu v'sipurenu b'tihilosa." All of the honor and all of our expressions of Hashem's praises, ke'efes v'tohu Nachshu Lo. Nothing. Zero. Zip.
What does it mean we all go to Cheder and the Rebbe says we do mitzvahs and it should be a nachas ruach with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We're giving Hashem nachas.
So I was by a discovery seminar where my father was teaching. My father's giving the class that God created the world to give pleasure. God can't receive. And this guy comes up to me and my father and I, and says, "What's the Shabbos?" And an older man from early religion, and he says, "What do you mean Hashem just doing everything?" I said, "You tell me where God's receiving department is, and I'll be happy." But until I can understand that, I have a very undefined term for Nachas Ruach. We're going to have to figure out what that means. But logically speaking, one thing's for sure. God cannot receive. Period. In order to receive, you have to be limited. Period. Not that you know you must think. You know, you don't understand. This is very, very sad. You don't understand. I came home a few days ago and I punished my son for saying something good to me. He's 5, 6-year-old boy. I gave him, you know, whatever it was, I gave it to him good, sent him to his room, screamed at him, terrible. Then a half an hour, he's in his room, he comes back out, folded pieces of paper, and a penny taped onto the paper. He comes over and he hands it to me. I open up the paper. Dear Tati, I love you. Dear Tati, I love you. He's giving me a gift, a penny. I love you. Please forgive me, whatever it's all about. The person says, "That penny's mine!" But he didn't own the penny. It came from me. Penny's mine. He didn't give me anything. But do you know how good that felt? I said, "Do you think Hashem has the same emotional problems that you have?" God does not feel good, warm to the heart, honored, glorified at all from anything we do. Yes.
One thing. It's a Rashi, it's a Chazal, but the bonus is Isha Re'ech Kikoyach. What's the Re'ech Kikoyach? That my will was done.
Very good. Not that God's getting anything,
but God is now capable of giving you.
Peru or Yavu is considered one of the most purposeful mitzvot in the Torah. It is daika many, many other issues that we may have to prevent Uruvu, prove Uruvu or override them. It's a huge mitzvah. The first mitzvah brought down in the Tanya mitzvah is Peru Uruvu. First mitzvah of mankind. Zot the mitzvah haschinach? Say the sefer haschinach? What is the mitzvah of Peru Uruvu? To create new opportunities back on the Jericho to give pleasure to. That's what you're doing. You're shearing in the purpose of God's creation. Not you're increasing more shame Hashem in the world because you're making another Jew. God doesn't need that. You are creating another receptacle for God to give to. That's proof. That's tremendous. You're shearing in the purpose of creation. You are yourself and now creating a new receptacle to God to give. That's what it's like. We say on Yom Kippur, and the reason says, when we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem should give us life, we say, L'man l'cho Elokim chayim. God, give us life for your own sake. So there are those about what to say, it means to say, is dedicate yourself to the causes of Klal Yisrael, and then you can say, God, for your own purposes, you're going to spread Torah and everything, I'll do that for you, you know. Give me life, I'll do that for you. But the Arizal says, no. L'man l'cho, God, you want to give life. So because you want to give life. I don't deserve it. But you want to give life for your purpose. I wouldn't even say want, because want really doesn't come into the radar when we talk about God, but wills. God wills. He wills. We say Lamancha Elokim Chaim, we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for your ratzon, for your will to be fulfilled. Give life.
God creates a Bria as a receptacle for him to get to. And God, we'll assume, is smart. Right? I mean, the cosmos is still working, you know. Everything's set up pretty well. And we can assume that if God consciously willed to give, he's going to do it well. He's not going to fail. He's not just going to do it well, he's going to do it in the best possible way. So God designed a world that is, and I remember I once went to Disney. I remember telling my wife, when I went to Disney, I said, it's unbelievable how everything here was custom made. Of course, for them to make money, but it was custom made to give pleasure. The whole, the gardens, the sound system, the whole place was custom made to put smile on people's faces so they can make money. Right? But that's what the world is. The world was customized perfectly to be the most appropriate place to receive as much good that any receptacle can possibly receive from God. So God designed man. And in God's wisdom, and something we can all understand, is that if you can get some good or limited good, that's still not the best. If there's any way that you can possibly get unlimited. And thereby, God decided that he is going to design man as a receptacle for his good in a way that man can receive unlimited good. Coffee, chocolate, cake, money, power, children, you name it. It's all limited. Everything in the world is limited because it's all man. There's only one thing in the world that's unlimited. God. So God designed a very, very simple machine. I'm going to make attachment. You funnel yourself. You just plug yourself into me. And I will cause that to be a source of unlimited pleasure for you. That's all. That's unlimited giving. God wants to give. He's going to create a receptacle for it, and he's going to give to it. Not just limited in terms of food, or anything that matter in the world can offer is going to be somehow, somewhere limited. God designed a receptacle that can plug into the source of unlimited power, and that can give an unlimited pleasure. The way that one can attach to this unlimited source of giving would be optimized if the receptacle was similar to the source itself. To the extent that the receptacle is going to be different than the source, it can't totally attach as much. To the extent that the receptacle is going to be similar to the source, it can receive more. And therefore, just as God, the original existence, however you want to call it, is the owner, shall we say, of everything, he creates everything. Everything that goes on in the Bria is because he willed it and brought it about. So God decided that he's going to make the receptacle receive the good in a way that the receptacle will get itself attained. If the receptacle is going to get it where it's not self-attained, in a way he is being dissimilar from the source of good. The source of good can only give, can only produce, can only create. And if this receptacle is just receiving, without producing the pleasure that it's receiving on its own, it's going to be dissimilar than the creator. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that in his wisdom, the receptacle must create its own good. It must create its own attachment to get to the pleasure. And thereby we come to the tremendous yisoid that a human being must have opportunity to get pleasure and opportunity to turn it down. That's what we call bechira. Hashem didn't need hired mitzvahs. He created one man with two opportunities. So one mitzvah to say, one mitzvah was it. The mitzvah to say was very cool. Eat! Enjoy Gan Eden! Eat! Mitzvah to say, that was mitzvah to say number one. Eat! Mitzvah lo saseh, the one opportunity to close off that connection of drawing pleasure from God was don't eat from the Eitz Hadas. From there we also see that the opportunity for receiving good doesn't only mean Olam Haba. It means Olam Haba. Friday, Adam was born. Olam Haba would have been Friday night. Friday night would have been the fulfillment of the purpose of creation. Now Shabbos is made in Olam Haba. The original Shabbos was designed to be the Olam Haba. If Adam HaRishon would have made it from Friday morning to Friday night, keeping in touch with his opportunities to be the receptacle of pleasure from God, Olam Haba would have been an unlimited time period, totally unbound by time, totally unbound by physicality, God giving to the receptacle pleasure. He did not totally grant hold of the opportunity, to say the least. We're going to work on that in Mitzvah Shem later. But the intent of the Bria was to give. And God created, he only needed one receptacle with one opportunity to make it and one opportunity to break it. The purpose of that was because the receptacle has to self-attain its own pleasure. That way it will be most similar to the Creator, and that way it can receive so much more because it's similar to the Creator. More points than this. I was going to say more, but we'll just finish off with two more points. The big question on this is the famous Mishnah. Famous Mishnah by Kiyos. Al tiyu ka'avodim ha'misham shenes harav l'kavu prat. El al tiyu ka'avodim ha'misham shenes harav shelo yamanach l'kavu prat. There's a question on the Girsa of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yoina holds the other way. We're going to go with the Pashas of Girsa. Don't serve your master under the condition or with the intent to receive reward. Serve your master not on the condition to receive reward. We're saying now that the whole purpose of creation is to be the receptacle for God giving. Let's look. Not only that, we said based on Arizal, when we say Lamancha Elokim Chayim, God give us life because you want to give life. We're asking for life because God wants to give life. God, let me do the mitzvahs and everything so I can receive pleasure. The famous Maizah, I don't know which Rebbe, I heard the Maizah of Hillel David. I'm sure there's probably different versions to it. Rebbe, he had an esrig, there was one esrig in town. And the merchant, or whatever it was, who had the esrig, Kotzker, I don't remember, the merchant who had the esrig, he told the rabbi he's not giving up for anybody in the world. Away. So finally he decided, I'm a good one. I'll give it to the rabbi if I get the reward for his mitzvah. The rabbi said, fine. Took the esrig and it was molly simcha that you have to fuck it up. Tell me the next one, what's that? He did the mitzvah, but like, hey, why are you happier than you ever? He said, every time I take the esrig, I'm doing it so I should get reward.
Today I took the ethics so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be able to give reward.
So of course the purpose of creation is God's giving pleasure. But not that I should get it. When our focus is, sure, l'man chelokim chayim, give life. Oh, to me. Of course, we prefer we're not on the level to say that, you know, no, don't give it to me, give it away, you know. We're not holding at that level. But yes, true l'shem shemayim is l'man chayim, God, you want to grant good to the world, you want to give to the world, you want to give pleasure to the world, you want to give bracha, atzlacha, panazwa, gizun. All the wonderful things Hashem wants to go and bestow His kindness upon the world, God, give it. Don't be kavodim amshachnes aravol menafel kavopras for you to receive reward. Even though that's the intent. The intent of the Bria is that everyone should receive reward, you included. But if you're doing it selfishly, then you're limiting your capability of pleasure. Because self-interest is that much less of a relationship. A relationship is so much more connected. You are so much more like the Creator when your focus is not self-interest, which is the opposite of the Creator. He is not capable of self-interest. So when you're practicing self-interest, you're being dissimilar to the source of the pleasure, which is going to limit your capabilities of receiving. Whereas when your intent is not necessarily your receipt of the pleasure, but the intent is God giving of the pleasure, you are being like the Creator. You're helping Kivayako, you're taking part in God's giving. You're creating more opportunities, just as Puravu. You're creating more opportunities for God. You're producing more good in the Bria without the self-interest that makes you dissimilar to God. Okay.
Anybody have enough to make another?
Can I make it out now?
Yeah, I'm
I'll make it out.